Blog Talk Radio.
Take y'all back, man. As I do so well. What ain't nothing like that? Man, what ain't nothing like that first? She was just a bad girl.
Take those days off. I'm laughing.
I mean, I'm just kicking it real. I mean, I grew up over in the neighborhood. You know, I'm gonna say where I grew up, right in the neighborhood. It was 65 neighborhood.
I don't think they know that, though.
Because if you take
a
day off, that's
for
your last day.
No, I mean, I grew up here on the one, and I still don't take no days off, and I ain't acting with none of that crap. But at the end of the day, because I know the human behavior and the progression of behavior to the extent that it is now, now you got the daughters of gangsters doing drive-bys, and they've been put on the set, and you got the grandbabies of former gangsters my age, and they've been put on the set. This crap don't end, and it didn't start to go nowhere in the first place, but it certainly ain't moving you to a higher level of thinking or utility of technology if all we can do first is dance on the internet and sing on the internet, okay, and do the old Sambo routine on the internet. I don't care where you're from. You probably need to check your need to do selfies. You probably need to check your need to post. Okay, I'm one who's rolled that back. I could care less. I was on earlier this morning on Facebook, and I figured out, let me let a couple of people, actually a few frat brothers, a couple of females, know how I'm doing. Other than that,
okay, let's use it for what it really intended for. Let's cut the nonsense out of it.
And I also changed the filter where my information only goes to my friends, not to the public anymore. Now, one of the problems that you're seeing, and we've seen this here in South L.A. within the last, over the last 6 months, is where folks are staging killing and setting up people to get killed, and a guy going to come out and film that as you get murdered or beat down. That trend is as ridiculous as putting on a vest to blow yourself up and get it on an airplane.
Exactly.
And
exactly. I mean, it, like my dad would say, either or on that case. Both situations are wrong, and we need to focus on both situations, see how wrong it is, and see the similarities in both cases.
Has the lack of social, physical interaction crept into the mind of a certain segment, youth and otherwise, of the population to the extent that they can no longer make the type of choices because they haven't had, that we had to make because they haven't had the experiences, first and only social interaction. We had to go to the high school dance to meet someone. We didn't really have no other choice, okay? But now you got this internet thing, and if a dude you don't even know, I ain't even seen, you can't even confirm it's him. Ask you as a young lady to send your body part over the internet and meet him. In some cases,
it is really crazy that the fact that, and then when you're doing that, you got to be trustworthy. You got to hope that who you really think you're talking to is that person.
9 out of 10 times it ain't.
Right. And, I mean, so that's, I think what a lot of people do is hide behind the internet or the social media, because now I could be, if I was that shy, goofy guy in the neighborhood, on the internet, I don't have to be that shy, goofy guy. I can step outside myself, and I can be something other than myself. And not saying that it will work for him because he's not being true to himself. It is what they're doing. They're trying to change their self-image to be something bigger, better, something other than they are. You know, some people want to be women. Some people want to be men. Some people want to try to babying little children. Some people just, you know, I mean, it's all kind of alluded with all the weird thoughts and all the negativity that's put into the internet to get it to this ugly place. We should be trying to make it a different place altogether. Like I said, we are inherently evil.
Can I say this? Remember just 2 summers, maybe 3 summers ago, everybody was so pro-positive about the use of the internet to help free up years of suffrage and create what we call the Arab Spring. Just nearly a year and a half later, the terrorists figured out how to use the internet so they can create the Devil Spring. And you see the difference here? You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, like I said, we can take a good idea and quickly corrupt the idea.
Is it that?
Because we're looking at personal self gain. We're not looking at the very big picture of it all. We're just looking at personal self gain. So a lot of these people that are on the internet, they're sticking it out of themselves these days, that trying to be food critics, or trying to be something that they really mad or whatever the case may be, can get away with it because it's not a physical a place. It's not where I can actually see and touch. So we can throw anything out there, and we have to be very careful with that internet situation altogether.
You and I were raised,
you know, that I don't even deal with Facebook. I don't deal with none of that crap.
But you and I
know who I am and where they can find me to get in touch with me.
You and I were raised during a time where we were taught that you had to actually physically respond to a bully. You couldn't run from it, and you certainly couldn't pal up with your people on a technological platform and go after it. You had to physically deal with things. Like I said, we had to physically meet people to bring them into our life. And our parents, after we would do this as children and even young adults, it never ended until they passed, they're always raising us, even in death, they're raising us. But you and I were always taught by our instructors, our parents, our grandparents, you may not need that friend. You may not need to go to that party. You may not need that whatever it is. You know, we didn't have smartphones, but you may not need that whatever it is that we had back then. You know, whatever tool, whatever. You know, I remember one day I asked my mother when I was in the basketball if I could get some knee pads because I kept busting up my knee. And I remember her response. She said, are the knee pads going to make you a better person? I was like, what? She said, so then she said, will that affect your morality? Yeah, I might have been. I might have been in the seventh grade, right? And my mother's a scholar. She's very, very smart. And I was like, and I answered the question. No, but can I get some knee pads? Because I keep tearing up my knee. I got a game tonight. I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to make me a better person. All right, first off, I am who I am. Secondly, if you think, because you got the body knee pads, I'm supposed to be a better person. I think you got a problem. I need the knee pads. I need the knee pads. Or the problem lies with them damn knee pads. But I needed the knee pads because I kept busting up my knees. Even when my grandmama just passed, all of the folks who raised me, they was like, you know, you've been busting up your knees all your life. You remember running down that hill and busting up your knees? When you was five, and I pulled up my pants, and, hey, bro, the scars are still there. Now, we both go. Now, the point is, will the internet make you a better, more moral person? Is that something that you should have to ask your children now? Maybe, huh?
Well, I think morality or common sense, which we know is a common, is taught at home. And now that the homes are very much fragmented and not together as a cohesive unit, we have a tendency to produce what we see today.
You're right about that.
Because it started at home. I mean, I can remember my grandparents on my mother's side and my dad's side, and how they had complete control over their family.
No, you don't get that no more. You don't get that.
Religion,
discipline,
how you acted and responded to most things. Well, they had control over that.
Whether or not you don't eat.
Right. They had control. But now I don't see the control as much anymore because everybody's got a phone. It's like when we used to sit at the table, we would have great conversation. But now you sit at the dinner table, everybody's got their phone now.
My stepfather would have knocked me all the way to your house if I
booked
you. You know, I think your mama would have knocked me all the way back if I pulled it out.
Really, though, that is how we get down.
That is not what we do here. Okay.
Right. And so I think.
Are we just not. Wait, hold on. Are we just not raising our children properly? Is that what you're saying? And we have.
I think we need to reevaluate and look at where we're headed. I never say we're raising our children wrong, but I don't think we're giving them all the necessary tools to be able to handle this new technology.
Well, look at it this way, okay? You could actually be around 35 years old with a 10-year-old that you, or 10, 12-year-old, that you had in a normal situation as you became a young adult, in or out of wedlock, and that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about the fact that if you think backwards, okay, when that parent was, see, where were we? We were probably about 25, right? Yeah. Okay, and so You kind of see, and I've seen, because I've been, since graduating from a four-year college, I went back to junior college and stayed there longer than I did at the fourth-year college. And actually, I learned probably as much, and probably some of it I would never learn in college, because they opened me up to intelligence and analysis and I don't know how you get that at junior college level, but I did.
I'm going to tell you had it before you even got to that level. It's kind of like the awakening or the...
Well, yeah, Greg, I'm an I spy. I was born an I spy. Yeah, you know that.
Saying? You kind of get to a place where you awaken. It's like where the light comes on. You know what I'm saying? So you always had that. It's just that you use it thoroughly, but when you was in a situation, you had to be more prepared. You had to use it.
But I have seen
it didn't put on you that way.
But I have seen consistently with the decision making of people 10, 15, and 20, certainly beyond 20 years younger than me, where it's just, to me, I don't get into questioning them, but when these situations come up, in the core of my mind, personally, it's like you have not been trained properly how to make decisions, and you're making decisions with bad information and with lack of training, and invariably you're going to end up with a bad decision. And then after that bad decision, they make 3-4 more, and they have to stay in them. And now they are 35, then they're 40 years old, and living with these results of bad decisions, i.e., homegirl, remember her? Yeah, I told you what was really going on there. And if you look at it, you know, her bad decision started at 18, 19, 35 or so, and she's still making bad decisions.
And at some point, she doesn't have to make those bad decisions. At some point, she can stop that.
Well, isn't it?
She chose to.
Well, hold up. Hold up, Reverend Rogers. Is it as simple as coming to Jesus?
When you have a near Jesus moment, a lot of people out there in the real world change.
Well, I guess so. I guess it is as simple. If that's all you
need. It's a simple fact. We have free will. It's what you choose and what you will which who you are.
I just had a thought. When you hit that wall and you don't know what the hell is going on, and that white light pops up in your head and says, "I'll follow me," or that dark tunnel goes, "I'll come my way." Okay, I guess that's your Jesus moment.
Everybody got a coming Jesus moment, and we jokingly say a coming Jesus moment, but you have that moment of total clarity where you have to make a good place.
Yeah, and you're going to have to do something different. Than what you
to do something different.
Traditional.
What's that old saying? about if you don't, well, for one, if you don't change, you cease to exist. We know that.
And the other,
if you're not willing to make a good change, you're going to cease to exist.
The other one that I always have liked is that the person with no plan has planned to fail.
Right. Right. That's messed up. You got a long time ago.
Now, if you plan nothing but evil and to get over and you devalue that white light or a sense of goodness, let's not get all Christian on us, but if you just have a sense of dark versus light or good versus evil, which most generic parenting does, most generic parenting will get you to, no, we don't eat our poo-poo, we eat food. We don't drink our pee-pee. We drink water. We don't put our tongue into the light fixture. Okay? We don't suck hot bulbs. We don't try to kiss the fan. All bad.
All bad.
You know, and so through rearing, you do get to some training and preparing a child to be reared appropriately. But I think the distractions are so voluminous right now, where if it's not a government official telling you what your morality should be, it's a pseudo-religious figure telling you what your morality should be, or a family member. But I think at the core, what I'm finding, like I tried to say a couple of minutes ago, is that as I look 5 years behind me, 15, 10, you know, all the way down, I look at some of my associates younger, they just don't know how to make proper decisions. And they don't have any.
Yeah, I think that's a skill that you learn when you pop early and you learn it as you grow.
And they don't have any faith.
We found out the rough way because if we made a bad decision, our parents would chastise. So we start to grow up knowing that if we make bad decisions, there's a repercussion for a bad decision. So we're geared more to trying to make the best decision for our situation.
After a year and a half of college at an all-private college, mostly white, I end up on academic probation. And the day I had to tell my mama, because I knew she was going to get the letter, is that if I do not turn it around this semester, I will be kicked out. You know what my mama said to me? It was sort of like the knee pad. She picked up the letter. It's almost like as I was coming home that weekend, she was opening the mail.
And then, it always seems to work out that way.
And then she opened the mail. I didn't try to get in to steal it or nothing like that. Now, high school, I might have told. But, you know, I didn't try to get into that. And she opened the letter and said that I was suspended and on academic probation, and this would be my last semester unless I turn my grades around. She just looked at me with the letter and said, "How could you let this happen?" Again, my mama put it all back on me. So,
well, I mean, that's where it should have been, though. If you really think about it today, you might have been. In some ways, it might help me, and she's like, the hope I'm going to give you is that you're going to fix the mess that you made for yourself.
Yeah, I made that mess because that's when I figured out the power of beer, the power of weed, and, man, the light-skinned girls and white girls was just on my mind, right? And the dark-skinned girls. The women were on my mind, and I was just finding myself. Trying to be a better Mandingo.
Right. You lost sight of what you were there for.
I wasn't there to be a Mandingo.
No, you were there to get educated. And you had lost sight of that for a minute.
I didn't go to tug on the white people.
No. You were there to get educated. Higher learning.
Well, I was getting higher learning. And I did get some education at that point. But let me tell you how the story is, and you already know, I certainly turned it around. Okay?
I mean, we all had those decisions where we had them come in Jesus' moments where we got to get this right.
Even
otherwise, we would have to deal with the consequences.
I turned it around.
It's just like when I went to the circus. My dad made it real simple to me. He said, if you want to get some basic training, he's going to give you the key to it all. You know, my dad did many years in the service.
Oh, no.
He said, this is really simple. He said, whoever's in charge, treat him like you treat your father. He said, with much respect, and you'll be able to get through. And when I first got there, I did. Because this white guy yelling at me with that, you know,
you called me back then, some through it after boot camp, because you couldn't call it a boot camp. But after then, after everything was cool, you told me about some of your exploits. But, in fact, how you met your first wife, trash can.
Right.
Remember the trash can, bro? We ain't going to get into that.
Right. But it's just the same way, again, you got to make business choices or bad decisions. One of the two, you're going to either or. And so, like when I got there, like how you were expressing your mandatism, I would just respect this being on my own. I'm a my own man. I'm going to do it my way. Well, sometimes your way ain't the right way. And sometimes you have to bend to the system to make it. And that's what I learned. It's like when the dude told me, well, we could kick you out today, I looked at that like, wow, this is going to be a real embarrassment, not to me, up to my father, who did 20 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't look at it for myself as an embarrassment because I could care less.
You know what?
But for my father, it was like, oh, I don't want to do that to him.
Well, that's how I felt in college when I had a deal. I knew the deal going into it. The deal was, if your grades go below 2.5, or 2.0 in a certain period, on average, you're going to have to go. But all my marks were B's and A's. The problem is I was computer literate and young African American, and I had a counselor who pushed me, and he had me take probably a computer programming class that I wasn't ready for. And I certainly wasn't ready for the German teacher, female. And I did not do well. And I ended up getting like a D, which brought my average down. So it was bringing my average down that adversely affected me. But, you know, the whole thing that really made me angry is that I was concerned that I was disrespecting my mother.
Again, we have repercussions not just on ourselves, but how our parents felt about us. You know what I'm saying? Because we had so much respect for us. Like I said, when I realized when they put me into the office and said, "Man, we can send you home today," I had to make that decision. And he basically made that even the decision. We can send you home now, or you can go back to the barracks and become a good soldier. I chose to become a soldier, so I might as well become a good soldier and do what you guys expect me to do. And at that point, when I walked back in there, I had to talk to my drill instructor. I then just realized, like, talking to him, that if I gave him just a little bit of respect like my dad said to, this will smooth itself out. And as soon as I did that, everything became perfect.
Same thing happened to me, GRX, because I had to go back to school after the break, humble myself, and take the appropriate classes, and I focused on getting A's and B's, and I did that. And now we're both better. Now, stop. Don't say nothing. But in the last 30 seconds, who you got is C2AY?
I'm kind of looking at Villanova right now.
C2, stop. Don't say nothing. Are the Warriors going to pull this beat the Chicago Bulls record? I'm concerned now. They lost at home last night.
I still think they can do it.
They got to win 5 out of 6.
Right, they got to get 5 out of 6 of that. I think they can. It's up to whether or not if San Antonio is coming to play or to rest.
But they can beat San Antonio on a good day. On a San Antonio good day. They can.
I don't know, bro. I don't know.
They have. They can. The Warriors will either have to play up to their full. But this is what we're talking about. Either you fall under oppression and duress and stress that you might have created for your own self, or you ball up, or you find the Jesus, and you move forward. Ain't that what we're saying? That's the Warriors going to have a Jesus moment. Ladies and gentlemen, say it, GRA. That's all he needed to say was, yep. All right, folks, we out. This is real talk, real preaching now. I'd like to thank Reverend Rogers. Reverend Rogers for coming down and bringing the homily. Okay, we're going to pass the virtual hat. Okay?
Check this out. The homily is only going to work if you associate and want to be part of the homily.
Yeah, I agree. If you're not with the homily, then you're not going to be able to value yourself from the word that eloquently Reverend Rogers just delivered. However, that does not have to stop your virtual giving. And we need you. We don't want no money. We don't want no jewels. We want Benz. Just send me a Benz, and he needs an SUV because of his situation, because he needs to ride high. But I just want a convertible. And you send that care of, okay, just send it to 71st Street. Just send it to 71st Street, both of them, and I'll get him here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We out. I'll ask
I'm hoping that my shit's big enough to fuck with. And most of all, I'm praying God don't let me fuck with. I'm working for.